It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Dr. Vika Brewster. Dr. Brewster practices with us at White Spruce Medical here in Fairbanks. And today we're going to talk about vitamin D. Dr. Brewster, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I just moved to Fairbanks in September, and I really wholeheartedly feel the importance of talking about vitamin D since moving here and getting a feel of our long, dark winters.
That's the real rub, isn't it? You know, the rest of the world makes vitamin D by going outside and walking around. And here in Fairbanks, that won't work. Mm-hmm. You can go outside wearing nothing in the middle of the day in the peak sun, shining brightly, and you will make zero vitamin D because there's not enough energy in the light we get in the wintertime. And so vitamin D turns out to be instrumental to being successful at living here in Fairbanks.
Oh, yes.
So the reason why we're doing the show today is because this is the time of year that if you haven't been taking vitamin D, that your vitamin D stores that you put together all summer long are running out. And what will happen is you're going to get tireder, and you're going to feel worse, and you're going to feel worse. So let me ask you this. Since you're new to Fairbanks, and a lot of people don't know this, what time of year do you quit making any vitamin D by, you know, going out in the sun?
I want to say October.
Wrong. September.
Okay.
How about when you start making vitamin D? When?
April.
No, wrong again. Turns out to be May.
Oh, okay.
So it's worse than you thought. Seriously. You go other places, like, well, maybe in the middle of winter because you're all bundled up and there's not that much light in the sky and you wouldn't be making vitamin D for like a month or two maybe. Yeah, around here, it's the few months that you can make vitamin D are only in the summertime. Basically, half of May, June, July, August, half of September.
And that's really helpful to know because I definitely notice how much brighter that it's getting, and it makes me feel like, you know, I'm getting energized. But, you know, if you aren't feeling energized by the sun, there's a reason for that.
Well, you'll still get the energy from the sun in the sense that it'll affect your vision, and you'll get catecholamine release, and the dopamine levels tend to go up, and there's all kinds of loveliness that happens with bright sunlight, and we feel better and more perky, except for vitamin D isn't part of it.
Yeah.
Really, seriously, it isn't part of it. So you've been doing research into vitamin D. I'm curious, what did you find?
Yeah, so vitamin D is really important. It's kind of a misnomer that it's called a vitamin because it's more of a hormone. It has a effect regulating our immune system, especially kind of decreasing the anti-inflammatory cytokines and increasing T-cell regulation, which basically means that it's setting up our immune system to fight off infections, especially viral infections. And this is getting even more well-renowned based off of COVID and its effect on COVID. So I'm really glad that that's giving it the attention that it deserves. And as well, it also has a correlation between deficiency and autoimmune disease. So its effect on the immune system is numerous. So it's unfortunate that we call it vitamin.
So most vitamins, you need to take them, otherwise you don't get any in, your body can't make it, right? But vitamin D, I'm using air quotes on the word vitamin, we do make it, it's just it's not activated. The pre-vitamin is in our bodies, and it gets close to our skin, and it needs to be turned on. There's one last final step that light will do to make the conversion. Once it makes the conversion, basically what this hormone does, it acts like other hormones. It regulates us, right? And you've emphasized the immune system. And I think for good reason, because that seems to be the thing that you know, is in the news the most and people are most interested in because of COVID. I mean, the virus that we've been living with for years now, it turns out your chances of surviving COVID are very closely related to what your vitamin D levels are. Mm-hmm. If your vitamin D levels are higher, chance of you dying from COVID plummets. Mm-hmm. And if your vitamin D levels are low, the chance of you having to go to the hospital and suffer and have to fight for your life goes up. Now, it's not 100%. It's not like people with perfect vitamin D levels never get sick with COVID. But the chances of you getting really sick drop drastically. You know, 4 or 5 times less chance of you dying from COVID if your vitamin D levels are adequate than if they're low. And you already said the reasons for that, because your immune system needs a vitamin D to regulate. Without that regulation, it runs off the tracks. And it's not the virus per se that's killing people. It's their immune reaction to the virus. Mm-hmm. That's what's taking people down.
Yeah.
We know that. It's getting pretty common for people to realize what this is. This is the cytokine storm. Well, with the vitamin D levels, the chance of you getting a cytokine storm drops drastically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so there's that. Let's talk about, instead of getting away from the, I'm going to come back to the more details about the immune system, but to start the conversation off, I want to know what you've discovered about people who have low vitamin D. Like, what do they show up with? Do they show up with the flu? What do they show up with?
So they show up with some of the things that are the most common symptoms. So I think that, you know, checking your vitamin D levels are so important because it can show up as fatigue and it can show up as chronic low back pain. And really, it can show up as any type of muscular pain.
Muscular pain.
Yes.
And tiredness.
Yes.
Okay. So listeners, I want you to raise your hand if you have tiredness and muscle pain. Okay. Oh, there's a lot of hands going up right now, right? And this is because it's a common problem. And a lot of times it's, you just think, well, I'm getting old, right? Or I, you know, picked up that heavy box and now my back is sore from it or what, something like that. Well, turns out the reason why this is hurting isn't because you picked up the heavy box. The heavy box was just the straw that broke the camel's back. It was because your vitamin D levels were low. And we saw this when I first moved to Fairbanks 22 years ago. I saw this a lot, especially in the spring when the lights started coming back. People started to ache and get tired and sad, like they get depressed. And I looked them up and down and I said, you know, you need to go to Hawaii. And I would write them a prescription. They would giggle and they would laugh and they would go to Hawaii and they'd come back tan and happy. And I didn't know really what we were doing. I just knew I could tell something was missing. And now, I mean, not now, but a few years after that, doing some research, we eventually figured out, huh, I wonder if it might be vitamin D. Holy moly, and it was ever vitamin D. Now, this is good news and bad news. The good news is we figured out what the problem was. The bad news is I don't write prescriptions to go to Hawaii anymore.
Yeah.
Sorry, it doesn't happen.
But you can take your vitamin D in Hawaii.
Well, it was a lot cheaper to get some vitamin D than it was to have to go to Hawaii. But they both work. They're both completely adequate to the problem, right? So, okay, the achiness is the key thing. And I'm not kidding about the achiness because I've seen this. I've had patients come to me after having had multiple surgeries for their pain. And then I ran the test and found out that their vitamin D levels were low. And it was like, oh, I'm sorry. Here, do this and you're going to feel better. And sure enough, they would turn. The whole case would turn. And they were going like, ah, how come nobody ran my vitamin D levels? Because people didn't think of it. So the doctors who are listening, take this to heart. You got to run vitamin D levels on your patients, particularly your patients who are tired and who have pain. And the pain, a lot of times, people will get a name for it. They'll say, I have fibromyalgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a chronic pain condition. And it turns out that vitamin D really is the thing that's driving it. And this isn't just in Fairbanks. I remember when I first came across the research about fibromyalgia in Saudi Arabia, it blew my mind that they found that 3/4 of the people in Saudi Arabia improved who had fibromyalgia by taking vitamin D. This is Saudi Arabia where they have tons of light. It really puzzled me. How is that even possible that anybody in Saudi Arabia would have low vitamin D? But then I thought about it for a little bit, and I realized people in Saudi Arabia, they're bundled up. They don't want to stand out in the hot sun. It's you know, it's misery. They don't want to get a sunburn. So what they end up doing is wrapping themselves up so to stay away from the sun. Or if you know, a modern Alaska mom goes to Mexico or Hawaii, and their kids, they're all lathered up in sunscreen. So there's no sun getting through, even though you're in the hot, hot sun out on the beach, you know, making a sandcastle as a kid, you're actually not getting any vitamin D. So yeah. Half the people who live in Hawaii are also low of vitamin D. It's not just a Fairbanks problem. It's a worldwide problem.
Yeah. Any places with pollution or, you know, lots of skyscrapers, anything that really, like,
yeah, right.
You know, interferes with the absorption.
Living in the canyon, right? It's only the noon sun that penetrates through.
Yeah.
So it turns out to be a common problem, really, you know, a countrywide. Let me say for us, but worldwide in some ways. Now, tropical countries where you're running around wearing a loincloth, the chance you having a vitamin D problem basically goes away. But if you're, you know, wrapped up or living indoors, you're not going to get the vitamin D. They did research in South America, and they found that the vitamin D deficiency correlated to income. And the richer you were, the more indoor time you had, and the lower your vitamin D levels were. Mm. The poorer you were, the more outside you were, and the higher your vitamin D levels were.
Mm.
Okay. So let's talk about the actually taking vitamin D. So with your research, what do you recommend people do for vitamin D? How much? What kind?
I think it's definitely on an individual basis. So I think that getting the labs to see where you are is really important to see how much it should be increased. If it's really low, I think having something around like 10,000 and then rechecking to make sure that you're absorbing it properly. If you have any type of liver, pancreatic, small intestine inefficiency, that can affect the absorption of vitamin D, as well as certain medications that you can be on. So having these factors is really important to kind of see where you are and how well you are absorbing it.
So you said that you went through and said with a straight face 10,000. And I want to point that out to people who are listening, because many people who've looked into this will say 10,000 is toxic. If you take 10,000 IUs a day, the dose is too high, there's a very good chance you're going to get vitamin D toxicity. Now, I want to correct that misperception, because 10,000 will not cause toxicity. 10,000 turns out to be a pretty good starter dose for most people in Fairbanks. The reason why we know this is because we test.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you tell. It's not rocket science. There's no, you know, philosophy or religion here that I'm talking about, other than you just take vitamin D, and then after a month or two, you check your blood levels, and the normal range runs between 30 and 100, and you should be at least 40. You know, not necessarily even in the middle, but, you know, better than at the low point. And it turns out to get to 40, for most people, you're going to need at least 6,000 to 8,000, somewhere around there. And some people, you can't get to 30 by taking 10,000. Those people exist. They're real. They actually are out in the world. I have one patient in particular who we couldn't get their vitamin D levels up into the normal range until we started hitting 20,000. 20,000 a day.
Wow.
Just to get it into the 30s, just wow. At the bottom. This person is currently taking 22,000 IUs of vitamin D daily just to get to normal levels. So some people, for reasons we don't understand, are resistant to getting vitamin D absorption. And I couldn't find anything wrong with this person. I mean, we checked. We tried to figure out, you know, maybe it was the list of things you talked about, small intestine problems, so on and so forth. Nothing. Nothing checked out. And it was turned out to be, I didn't try to put that much energy into it, because it wasn't like we couldn't get the vitamin D levels up. Vitamin D is cheap. Super mm-hmm. inexpensive. It usually costs about like a nickel a day to get an adequate level of vitamin D. And if you have to use a high dose, it goes up to a dime. I mean, it's not that much. It's pretty reasonable, pretty sensible to be able to do it. The other thing that I want to point out is that there's lots and lots of different kinds of forms of vitamin D. Not lots of them, but there's different kinds of, you know, capsules and tablets, and it's mixed in with things, and there's lots of stuff that's got vitamin D in it. And we find the best way to do vitamin D is the vitamin D drops. They're inexpensive. You don't have to have the cost of doing encapsulation. And they're simple. They don't taste bad. They're plentiful. You get a little bottle, and it'll last you a long, long time, and it doesn't cost that much. And it turns out to be a great way to do vitamin D, so that's what we recommend. The absorption is about 40% better than the capsules. So a little bit goes a long way. It just kind of gets the numbers up better. So it's a great way to do it. Vitamin D drops.
And it's nice because you don't have to think about taking it with fat because it's already immersed in a solution that will help it absorb. Whereas otherwise, you do have to think about taking it with some form of fat because it is fat soluble.
Yeah. So that's nice that way. And what we end up doing is just putting a two or three or four drops, maybe five drops, depending, on a spoon and just lick it off.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it doesn't taste bad. Kids will take it. It's a pretty easy thing to do to get your vitamin D levels up. Simple, cheap, easy to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I just wanted to say, too, the great thing about vitamin D is you can take it every day, and if you skip a day, you can double up, and it doesn't have a negative effect on your body.
So, like vitamin C, if you miss a day, that's forget it. You don't get vitamin C that day because you can't double up the next day because it just gives you diarrhea, right?
Right.
But if vitamin D doesn't. It you could take it once a week and have it work just fine.
If you remember.
If you remember.
I wanted to suggest once a week, but I'm like, I don't know. I tried the once a week and I would forget. So
I mostly tell people to take it daily. And if they forget, just double up the next day.
Yeah.
When you do remember it, just take extra.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it's easy, it's convenient, it's a simple thing to do. And if you take vitamin D, chances of you aching goes down, chances of you being tired goes down, chances of you dying from COVID goes down.
Mood goes up.
Yeah, and chances of you getting calcium problems goes down. So it turns out to be a relatively safe thing to do. Relatively means it is possible to overdose it. So let's take a break. And when we get back from our break, let's talk about overdosing vitamin D. If you did, what would happen? And, you know, kind of what to look out for, things like that. Okay.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion, do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
Question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Dr. Vika Brewster, and we're talking about vitamin D. And when we left off, we were talking about, or just getting ready to talk about, vitamin D toxicity. So if you take too much vitamin D, you can actually get toxicity associated with it. It's happened before. It's something that's real. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I realized, too, I kind of delved into the immune system, and I didn't really touch upon the fact that vitamin D is also important for bone remineralization. Wow, can't say that word today. And remodeling. And it also has an effect on serum calcium and serum phosphate. And the thing that we want to focus most about is the calcium, because if you take too much vitamin D, that increases your calcium absorption, and that's what can be harmful to the body. If you have too much calcium, it can cause things like nausea, vomiting, constipation, even as serious as cardiac arrhythmias and renal failure. So this is something that we really want to be careful of. And the research on the toxicity is kind of intermixed. I was finding that you definitely have to take over 40,000 IUs a day for a long period of time. And then I also read that someone took 25,000 IUs and ended up getting toxic from that. So again, it goes back to the absorption of your body is dependent on you.
Yeah, I looked into this very carefully and found that the highest safe dose that nobody gets toxicity from is 10,000 IUs a day. Mm-hmm. So that one is safe. Not everybody needs that much to get into the normal range. Some people do, some people need more, but it's a decent Fairbanks starting dose. If you do get toxicity, and you already went through this, I'm gonna stress what it is. It shows up, what causes it is high calcium levels, but what it shows up is gut problems. Mm-hmm. You get cramps, nausea, vomiting, constipation. Those are the initial signs of this. And the good news is if it turns out that vitamin D is causing those, that somehow or other you accidentally got overdosed, and I'll talk about a case where somebody did exactly that, they got an accidental overdose. If you accidentally get overdosed, all you have to do is stop taking the vitamin D and the symptoms go away. Mm-hmm. So the accidental overdose was a guy who lived in California, and he showed up at the doctor with just those symptoms, nausea, vomiting, constipation, cramping in his guts. And the doctors were astute enough to figure out that it was vitamin D that was causing it. But it wasn't immediately obvious because he wasn't really taking an overdose of vitamin D, but his calcium levels were too high. And so they started investigating, you know, they'd ask him, are you taking vitamin D? No, not really. But are you taking anything? Well, it turns out he was a supplement formulator, and he had come up with this new formula of this protein powder that had vitamin D in it. And the factory that was making it for him accidentally put 1 million IUs of vitamin D per dose. He was getting 1 million IUs of vitamin D daily. Interesting thing is it took him a month before he started to have symptoms.
Wow.
At 1 million a day. Now, we're talking 10,000 a day. That's a big difference between 10,000 and 1 million. And then what he did is he quit taking his supplement, right, and found out the manufacturer made the mistake and how and fixed it all. But his numbers went back down. His symptoms went back down. Everything was hunky-dory. It's pretty hard to take enough vitamin D to really kill you, right? Now, yeah. Having said that, there's no reason to take excess vitamin D levels. It's better just to get the vitamin Ds in the normal range. We don't want to go excessive. There's really no benefit to taking too much. Sometimes if you take too much, it'll do something. In this case, meh. It doesn't really. With the exception of autoimmune disease, if you have an autoimmune disease, your immune system is hypersensitive. Back in the day, back in the, you know, the 40s, they were giving people 300, 400, 500,000 IUs of vitamin D a day, and they were shutting down their autoimmune disease, which made everybody so happy until their patients got calcium toxicity and their guts went to hell in a handbasket, right? And there's a few people that actually died from this, and then vitamin D got a bad rap, became a dangerous vitamin, so-called vitamin. And when I went to medical school, I was told never use more than 2,000 IUs a day because you really were putting people's health at risk. It was interesting that I learned that in school. You know, intelligent professors, that's what they were teaching me. It turns out it was simply not true. Simply not true.
Yeah.
Not true at all. It turns out 2,000 is low, for at least for people who live here in Fairbanks. It's hard to get your numbers in the normal range taking 2,000 a day.
Yeah, it's hard. And I was looking, too, at the RDA, and they're recommending like 900 IUs. And I've met very few people who can get the vitamin D up on that.
I can tell you why they're recommending 900. I know exactly why. The reason why is because that's how much vitamin D it takes to make sure you don't have rickets.
Ah.
Rickets is a disease where the calcium levels are so low because vitamin D levels are low that your bones don't grow right. In kids, their bones literally won't grow right, and they'll get bow-legged. They'll get rickets. You can tell a kid, somebody with rickets, because they show because their skeleton doesn't grow right. In adults, what you'll get is known as osteomalacia. The bone repair doesn't take place. Your bones get softer. They ache. This is back to the aching part. Remember we talked about aching? Mm-hmm. This is because osteomalacia is what's causing it. How do you prevent osteomalacia? All you have to do is take 900 IUs of vitamin D a day, and that'll prevent it. So it's the minimum dose that prevents the disease that we know goes with vitamin D. Turns out that's not the only disease associated with vitamin D. That's just one. Historically, we found that one first. But it turns out that the most important disease at least in our modern times, is your immune system doesn't work right. Mm-hmm. And you're susceptible to COVID or other viruses or autoimmune disease. So it turns out the immune component, in my opinion, is much more important than the rickets component. The rickets component is relatively easy to fix. Let me be more specific about the numbers. If you get a test and find out what your vitamin D levels are, if they're below 15, then you're going to be at risk for rickets if you're a kid, or osteomalacia if you're an adult. And very few people test out at 15. Here in Fairbanks, the vast majority of people test out in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
But I've had people, I've had one patient who tested out as a 7. She was a shut-in, never went outside. And I had another patient who tested as 0.
Yeah.
Literally, they couldn't find any in him whatsoever.
I remember that day.
Yeah,
what?
How is this possible, right? And yet, there it is, right there in front of you. And those patients ache.
Yeah.
They ache. And they are tired and they feel horrible. And it's so great news when we find out that their vitamin D levels are low, because now we can fix it for cheap and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm curious about what other kind of interesting facts you know about vitamin D. I mean, you've been doing research. You got anything?
Yeah. So going back to the COVID thing, there's a slew of research that shows that if you're vitamin D deficient, your mortality from COVID increases, your risk of being in the hospital increases. Basically, everything that you don't want to happen during COVID increases. But they had a slew of studies that show that doing bolus doses of vitamin D doesn't actually decrease that risk.
A bolus dose is one big dose.
Yes.
Like taking 100,000 IUs all in one go.
Right. And usually they do it intramuscularly in that part to, you know, absorb it better and all at once. But I was reading this one study that I thought was interesting, where they were showing that this bolus dose really very much so decreased their inflammatory markers. They tested about 6 different ones and they all decreased, and just a significant difference. And it was also interesting because they didn't study this fact, but there was about 50% less deaths in the test subjects who were taking this vitamin D dose. So I feel like, you know, the research hasn't quite caught up beyond the deficiencies associated with death, but it's coming on really fascinating.
Okay. So then what are they doing at the hospital? Do you have any idea? Because they know that vitamin D helps. Are they still doing a bolus dose?
Or doing it? Oh, yeah. They've been doing that from the get-go. So, I mean, I guess all the association between the viral infections and vitamin D caused someone to start trying it. And as far as I know, like throughout COVID, vitamin D has been the only thing that's actually proven to help protect against the side effects that could possibly be detrimental.
So when you go to the hospital, one of the first things they do is give you vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to prevent decrease the chance of you dying. Doesn't work 100% of the time, but as long as it works part of the percent of the time, I haven't seen the most recent numbers on this. I don't know if you have that, but what's the decrease in the death rate in people that they give the vitamin D to compared to people they don't?
So the death rate, I don't think, has shown a huge statistical relationship yet.
Once people are in the hospital already from COVID.
Right, because they already have...
It's too late. The immune system has already left the tracks.
Correct.
It's hard to get it back on again.
Yeah.
It's those people who aren't in the hospital, who didn't go to the hospital because their immune system stayed on the tracks. That's really where the benefit is, chief benefit.
Yeah, definitely.
And in spite of that, they still give people a bolus of vitamin D.
I mean,
when they get to the
hurt.
Hospital.
It's still going to decrease the inflammatory markers.
Yeah. So let me just get personal. What are you doing? What are you taking?
So my vitamin D is at a level that I like. So I take 2,000 IUs as a maintenance dose because my levels have stayed consistent on that.
And what do you do for patients that come in? Are you checking vitamin D for everybody, or?
I definitely try to check vitamin D as much as possible, especially if I hear that they're not taking vitamin D, because, you know, as we know, anyone above 35 degrees latitude will not be absorbing it. So if I hear that the vitamin D isn't on their supplement list, I get warning bells that go off.
So, Dr. Brewster, you are a good doctor that way, and better than me in a way, because even though I know how important vitamin D is, I had a patient call the clinic today and was told that we're doing a show on vitamin D, and she was so excited. She says, I tell all my friends to to take vitamin D because it's been so helpful to me. And then our clinic director said, so what is your vitamin D? Or something. I don't know how they got on the question. And then she pointed out the fact that, well, Dr. Looper's never tested my vitamin D. I said, yes, I have. And then I checked. Is it like, no, I haven't, actually. So
but
we
fixed
that one promptly, put the vitamin D test in. So if somebody wants to get their vitamin D checked, they can come see you and work through this thing, especially if they're tired and they're achy and they're feeling bad. This is a super useful thing to be able to check. And at the very least is to take vitamin D. If you haven't been taking it, hopefully we've talked you into taking it. And the only way you can tell if your dose is correct is by checking your vitamin D in a blood test. So, Dr. Brewster, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate all the hard work you did putting all this research together. And I want to let everybody know that this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks, where we treat gastrointestinal diseases like diarrhea, constipation, gastritis. So I want you all to stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.